Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Elnor. And Jackie has a different host just about every day, different programs, so that might be something you'd want to check out. Also, we have our website, propheticnews.com. Our YouTube channel under my name, Susan Puzio, and my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? Now, does God need money? No, God doesn't need any money. God doesn't need any money. So we don't give money to God. We give money to each other to be a blessing. And that's the whole purpose of giving, really. It's not really about us, but it's about helping somebody else. And God doesn't need our money. He doesn't look upon you with any special favor when you bring offerings to the altar and lay it at people's feet and things like that. No. There's so much foolishness on. It's hard to believe that. Sometimes I just shake my head because we're in the year 2018 and it's over 2,000 years since Jesus was here, and yet we haven't made much progress in the church at large because there's so much error in the church and there's so much false teaching. But when they appeal to people's greed, and it's like the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil, and it is. The love of money causes people to commit murder, to steal, to lie, to cheat, and even to use Jesus to do some of these things. And that's the lowest of the low, really. When I see people like Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy, and they have like this good old boys club, and they pretend that they really care about you, and they're doing these offerings for you when they don't really care about you. If they really cared about you, they would be telling you the truth about giving. They wouldn't make it like now you give this sustainment offering to the man of God, and God will do things for you. He'll heal you, and he'll save your family members, and he'll pay off your debts. And it just doesn't work that way. There aren't any get-rich-quick schemes out there. It's a con. It's a con, and they know it's a con, but it works because Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy, they've been doing these kind of things for years, and they're still doing it. So the fact that they're still doing it, and they're doing it on television, which television time is very expensive, and they've managed to stay afloat, even though Steve Muncy had some financial problems a few years back. I think his church was going into foreclosure, and I think of his houses or something like that. I can't remember all the details, but it's in my beginning with some of his financial problems with his foreclosures. But so it wasn't working. All even the things he was teaching, they weren't working for himself. So in his own life, but yet they carry on and I think it's amazing when I look at someone like Rod Parsley. And when he's sitting there with Steve Muncy, he just acts like, wow, this information is so great. And he's a really good actor, Rod. He should go to Hollywood. And maybe he'd get an Academy Award, because he is some kind of con artist, let me tell you. These people are very good at what they do. They're very good at the art of manipulation. And they tell you, run to the phone, run to the phone. Like, what's that going to do? Just because you run to the phone and you give your money, you send your money over there to Rod, and I'm sure Steve gets a cut of whatever Rod takes in. And they make it sound like if you run to the phone right now, somehow, some way, then that's going to cause a miracle to come your way. Obviously, they prey on the desperate, which is so sad, because people have real problems. They're going through divorces. They're going through a death in the family, maybe. They're going through some kind of terminal sickness. Maybe their children are on drugs, or somebody committed suicide or something like that, or they have terrible, terrible debts and they don't see a way out. And they don't have any heart, and they prey on these people that are desperate. That's one of the saddest things of all, because what kind of a testimony is it to the world when the world looks at Christians, or supposed Christians, and they see this kind of behavior? And even people in the world, they know that these people are con artists. They look at these people and they probably laugh and think, this is a joke. This kind of Christianity is a joke, which it really, it's not Christianity in the way that Jesus preached it. Because Jesus, in his earthly ministry, and we go back to that, we watch how he conducted himself when he was here. He never, ever took money to do anything for anybody. He never said you had to do that. He never said that you have to lay money on an altar. He never said that you have to put it in the apostle's hand or the prophet's hand. He never said that I have feast days that have to be celebrated, and on these feast days you have to give me some money. He never said any of that. And if he had said that, then we should do it. But he never said any of that. And so all these teachings that these people have about first fruits and Pentecost and Jubilee offerings and Passover offerings and tithing and all that, Jesus didn't teach that. He didn't teach that. Even when he was rebuking the Pharisees because they said, oh, we tithe, rue, and mint. Notice they didn't say money, because tithing was never money. And they said, wow, look at us. We give and we do what we're supposed to do. But yet he said, Jesus told them, you don't love. You lack the main thing. And the main thing is that we do things out of love for each other. And they were just bragging about, wow, look at me, I'm so great. And a lot of these ministers, that's what they do. They put themselves up on a pedestal and they want you to idolize them. You have to give them offerings on their birthday. Like, their birthday is some big celebration, and you have to bring these people that are wealthy, many of them, you have to bring them birthday presents, and you have to bring them offerings. And then they have Pastor Appreciation Day, and then you have to give them gifts on those days. And then you have to idolize them. There was somebody a few weeks ago, a woman pastor, and she had a birthday. And it was a whole hour, like, praise-a-thon about her. She had all these video clips of people telling her how great she was. And she was sitting there and taking it all in. And then people from her church were getting up and practically in tears, praising her. But who wants that? Anybody in their right mind, and we all know this, we're all human beings. We're capable of anything, even though we're saved and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. Under the right circumstances, some of us can lose it. And we're not perfect. We know we're not perfect. So why does anybody want to sit for an hour and listen to people tell you how great you are? It's just so bizarre. It really is. It really, really is. But yet, these kind of things go on all the time in a lot of these so-called churches where they spend their time praising the pastor. And the pastor, of course, wants to be called by his title or her title. They don't want to be called by their first name. You can't treat them like they're just a normal person. They don't want you to treat them like you're just like them when they are just like you. They are just like you. Just because they stand up on a Sunday morning and they have a Bible, that doesn't make them, they have a Bible and they read from the Bible, that doesn't make them any great one, that's for sure. So they talk a lot too. They talk a lot about leaving a legacy. And how they want to go down in history and all that. Well, who cares, really? You know, we hope that when you're gone, you're gone. And most of the time after some of these famous people die, people don't really pay them any mind. I mean, who talks about Oral Roberts that much anymore? They don't. Who talks about Kenneth Hagin that much anymore? People don't. So after they're gone, people don't really pay that much attention to them as they did when they were on the earth. These people should worry about their salvation and worry about where they're going to spend eternity, because if they keep lying and using Jesus in the manner that they're using him, and really, it's blasphemous to do that, to take a holy God or a holy God who was sinless and who laid down his life for us, and then to use him to enrich yourself in an ungodly manner, and then to use his word to kind of beat people up, desperate people. And it's all very sad. It's all very sad. But one of the reasons why I do this program and why I do the kind of work that I do is because I want to see things change. I hope that we have an effect on the body of Christ and that people will say, we're not going to endorse this kind of behavior anymore. We're not going to call it Christian. We're not going to say it's Christian television and it's Christian radio and these are Christian books and these are Christian magazines. When, say, for instance, like Charisma Magazine, well, they compromise. They compromise. They promote these false ministries. So they're not a Christian magazine. If they don't take a stand for what's right, then they're not a Christian magazine. Any Christian television station that allows these people on their networks and they also use them to have not Christian, because that is not Christian behavior. We do not extort money from people for our own gain by making promises to them that cannot be fulfilled. I don't know what's in the mind of God for people, for their future. I don't know how much money God wants you to have. I don't know what kind of house God wants you to have. He knows. He knows what you can handle, but I don't know that. And nobody else knows it either. So when a lot of these people, they try to take the place of God in their congregation's life, it's very, very dangerous. It's cult-like. Most of these churches are cults where they demand that you call these people by their titles and you can't call them by their first name. and you have to call them Reverend, and you have to bring them gifts. It's not right. It's not right. And it's time for the body of Christ to come back down to earth and to realize what our mission is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and to tell people the good news. Whether or not we get paid, if people aren't supporting your ministry, then you have to support it. That's all there is to it. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be, but you can't turn to carnival tricks like most of these people do, because they're saying, well, look, we have a vision and you have to help us fulfill our vision. Well, if they have a vision, then they should, if they're not getting the support they should be getting from the public, then they should find a way to support it themselves and not turn into extortioners like many of them have, including the two we're going to talk about today, Steve Muncy and Rod Parsley. They're complete extortioners. They extort money from people under false pretenses. And they use the gospel to do it. And it really is despicable. I wouldn't want to be them. What, like the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? So what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, to live in a mansion, to drive an expensive car and to fly an expensive jet and wear expensive suits and jewelry and whatever? And then you lose out with God. It's just not worth it. Eternity is forever. Eternity is forever, whether or not they're going to heaven or hell. This life is short for any of us that have lost loved ones. We know that when they're gone, it's almost like they weren't here because it was so short. Your life is but a vapor. You're here 1 minute and then you're gone the next. So we have to make our lives count for something, and our testimonies, especially our testimonies, how we present ourselves as ministers of the gospel to the world, because they're watching us. And a lot of these people are prominent. They're in the forefront. They're being seen and heard by many people. And yet, they're false prophets and they're false teachers, and they present a false Jesus. They present another Jesus that doesn't exist. There's no such Jesus that stands there with his hands out waiting for you to put money in his hands. That Jesus doesn't exist. He doesn't exist. Money's about giving it to other people. That's what it's about. It's about, I help you. God tells me to help you, I help you, and I do it because I want to, and I do it because I love you, or I love to give. I like to see people happy, and that's the way God looks at it. So, of course, if you're attending a church, yeah, the church needs to be funded. There's no doubt about that, and there's nothing wrong with them taking up offerings if that's what they need to do. And there's nothing wrong with asking people to contribute if that's what they want to do, as long as they tell them the truth and they don't promise them the world if they give, because you can't do that. I can't promise you anything if just because you give money to me or to anybody else. I can't promise you that you're going to get it back. Why would you want it back anyway? Who wants a gift? That's another part of the so-called Christianity that I can't stand, because I don't like anybody giving me a gift and then they want it back. They want me to do something for them because they gave me a gift. I don't like that. God doesn't like that. Who likes that? Nobody. But yet that's the kind of Christianity that's being portrayed, is that you give me a gift, and because you give me a gift, you're going to get something back for that gift. Well, that has nothing to do with Jesus. He never operated his ministry that way. And he never preached that kind of gospel, the gospel of selfishness and the gospel of giving to get. It says in Corinthians that God loves a cheerful giver, and you don't give out of necessity. You don't give because you have to. It's written right there. And so if it's written there that you don't give out of necessity, and they want to tell you, oh, if you have a need, that's when you really have to give. That's when you, and you hear people, and pastors actually have people get up in their churches and they say, I didn't make my mortgage payment. Well, so you steal from the bank so that you could give money to the church. Well, that's not right. That's not right. You don't pay your electric bill so you could give money to the church. Well, that's not right. You don't pay your rent so you could give money to the church. Well, that's not right. And no pastor should tell you that it is right. But yet I see these people, these so-called pastors, and they're there taking money from people. And then they say, give us your testimony. And people will say, well, you know, I didn't make my mortgage payment because I had to pay my tithes. And I knew I better pay my tithes because they were behind on something or whatever. So, no, they didn't make their mortgage payment. They paid their tithes. Well, that's wrong. That's wrong. And no pastor should teach that. No pastor should tell you that you have to pay your tithes first before you pay your bills. That's just ridiculous. That's stealing. And then they say, well, because I pay my tithes, then I got this windfall or I got this. Well, it wasn't because you cheated your mortgage company and you gave the money to the pastor. Yet this is what's being taught. Who teaches their children that? Like, do you teach your children that, look, if you owe somebody money, don't pay that money. No, don't pay the money back to the person you owe the money to. Just take it down to the church and give it to the pastor, because if you give it to the pastor, you're promised by God that he's going to open up the windows of heaven for you. So cheat people, but go over to the church and pay your tithes. The whole thing is ridiculous. I can't believe that people still buy it and people still fall for it. I don't know. I wonder sometimes what Bible they're reading, because obviously they're not reading it, because if they were reading it, eventually they'd get a hold of what it's saying, and they would leave these false teachers and false preachers behind. 2 Peter 2:1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. They bring upon themselves swift destruction. And we've been talking in the past few weeks about some of the men that have gone on, men like John Alexander Dowie and A.A. Allen. And A.A. Allen died an alcoholic, and Dowie died. He deceived himself, believing he was the second prophet Elijah. And so it's a dangerous thing. Anytime people go into preaching heresy, it's very, very dangerous, because they can become cult-like. They can become like a Jim Jones character, and it can really be devastating to people, devastating to families. So we need to be careful who we listen to, who we follow, what teachers we're listening to. Turn them off. If you turn on television and you see these people, turn them off. Don't contribute to these networks that promote these heresies. Don't attend these churches. If your pastor can't tell you the truth, if the pastor of the church doesn't love the people enough in the church, tell them the truth. You don't need to be there. You don't need to support being there by going there. And you definitely don't need to support it by giving your money to these places, because these places need to close down. If you can't the Bible the church has pastors. They appoint pastors, and pastors are supposed to love the sheep just like Jesus. Jesus doesn't abuse his sheep, and pastors shouldn't do that either to people. They should tell people the truth that you should work to earn a living. You should pay your debts, pay your bills, don't live above your means, and live a life of integrity, honesty, and hard work. And that's the way you can accumulate wealth. I don't know what kind of wealth you can accumulate, but you might have a house, you might have a car, you might have your debts paid, you might have food to eat and some other things. God's not going to make everybody wealthy. To the average person, having a house and having a car and having clothes and food to eat and having the bills paid, to the average person, that's considered wealth. So God said he would meet our needs, and those are our basic needs while we're here on the earth, is that we have to have shelter, we have to have food, we have to have clothing. We need electricity and water and gas for our cars and all those things that we need to sustain our lives. And God said that he would meet our needs. And these people promise you that you're going to get a hundredfold return if you give this money. And you sow this seed of $100, you're going to get maybe $1,000 or $10,000. And it just doesn't work that way. Someone in life could be good to you and could give you a gift, or someone in your family dies and you get an inheritance. Those kind of things happen, or you can win a contest or whatever, and or you get a really good job and you earn money that way. But most of the time, it never falls out of the sky. it never falls out of the sky. So that's what people should be taught in church. They should be taught responsibility, that if they're married, they have a responsibility. Men have a responsibility to support their families and take care of their wives and their children, and teach their children to grow, when they grow up, to work for what they want. And to be honest, and especially to have integrity. But today, like I said, when you see these pastors telling their people, and they have them standing up and they're saying that they didn't pay their mortgage and they didn't pay their light bill so they could pay their tithes, that's wrong. That's wrong. And nobody should be teaching anybody that. You're supposed to pay your bills. Anyway, Jesus never taught tithing. He never taught tithing. I think if we were required to pay 10% to the storehouse, like they said, I think Jesus would have taught it. I think that's one thing he would have brought out, but he never did. He never did. So obviously, if he didn't teach it, then it wasn't so. So we follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. And if you want to give 10% of your money to your church or to a ministry, that's fine. But you're not required. It's not required of Christians today. We do things out of free will, and it has to come from the heart. It can't be something that you're forced to do, because God says he loves a cheerful giver. And anybody that's forced to give, that's not giving it cheerful. So let's read a couple more scriptures, and then I'm going to play some of this audio from Rod Parsley and Steve Muncy when they're teaching about sustaining. Here's Ezekiel 14:9. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. These are pretty strong scriptures. These are pretty strong scriptures. Deuteronomy 18:20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Those are pretty strong words. Psalm 119:104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And that should be how we are, that we hate every false way. When we see a false prophet and we see a false teacher, then we're supposed to turn from that. And not just when these scriptures talk about that prophet shall die. They can die spiritually. They can die spiritually and lose out with God, lose spending eternity in heaven and die a spiritual death and wind up in hell. So what does it profit trying to make yourself famous and deceiving God's people? It doesn't profit. In the end, it won't profit unless they repent. And you hope that they'll repent. But we don't see a lot of it. We really don't see a lot of it. I haven't seen Benny Hinn repent of his extortion. I haven't seen Steve Muncy repent of his extortion. I haven't seen Mike Murdoch repent of his extortion. I haven't seen Paula White repent of her extortion. Why would these people even be angry? And then they say that there's people talking about them and people persecuting them. It's not persecution. It's not persecution. The Bible says that a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. We're to reject heretics. And also, open rebuke is better than secret love. Would you rather have me or other people that do apologetics and discernment ministries, would you rather have us not tell you the truth? That's not love. Love tells you the truth. Love can tell you when you're doing something that brings a reproach to the body of Christ as a whole. And also, it brings a reproach in the eyes of the world. And those are the people that we're trying to reach. We're trying to reach people that don't know Jesus. We're trying to present Jesus Christ as he really is, and not another Jesus, not a false Jesus. So, but I think even in the near future, that there'll be a lot more persecution against people that tell the truth about these ministries, because they don't like it. It affects their bottom line, which is their money. And they have no regard for the body of Christ, and they have no regard for Jesus, and they have no regard for where people spend eternity. But as the days grow more and more evil, I think we'll see a lot more persecution against ministries that tell people the truth about what the false prophets and the false teachers are doing. Proverbs 19:9, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Those are strong words. Those are strong words. And I wonder to myself, because a lot of these people, they hold up a Bible and they read from the Bible, but yet they haven't really read the Bible, or maybe some of them have read it, and they just pull out a few scriptures here and there to try to manipulate people to do what they want with the Word of God, which is a very dangerous thing. Also, here's a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 13. They have seen vanity and bring divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Have ye not seen a vain vision? And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity and seen lies, and therefore, behold, I am against you, saith the Lord. And my hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. And that's it. God will be God, and God will be the judge. And I wouldn't want to be judged. That I would spend my whole life, and I would turn my back on Jesus and sell out for filthy lucre. It's just not worth it. Why can't they just be content with what they have? And most of these people, they just need to retire and go away. Leave people alone. If you can't preach the gospel as it is, you don't belong in any kind of a public forum presenting yourself as a Christian. You need to just go away, retire. Be happy in retirement. Be happy with what you have, your house, your car, your clothes, whatever, your savings account, and leave people alone. But yet they lust for power. They lust for fame. It's very, very destructive. Anyway, I'm going to play. I've got four clips here. And it was a recent program that Rod Parsley, and he calls Steve Munsey a prophet. Well, he's not a prophet. He's a false prophet. And so is Rod Parsley. And Rod Parsley should be ashamed of himself. He really should be ashamed of himself. He spent all these many years since he was a young man supposedly preaching the gospel. And he fell into the trap when he got popular and he was in demand as a preacher. And because you have to then promote yourself, and then you have to play politics with people to get invitations, and then you have to, of course, go on television, which is very expensive. So they promote themselves, and they get themselves into a hole financially, with especially with television bills. And so then they figure out, well, I can manipulate to get offerings. I know how to get offerings. And that's what happens. Then they start doing the conning and the scamming to pay the bills, because it works. They know it works, and it's worked for him for many years. And he's just grown more and more bizarre in his methods. Anyway, here's clip number one.
So it now. Begin with $100 a month for the next 3 months. Sow securely online or write today to Breakthrough, Box 100, Columbus, Ohio, 43216. This single sustainer's offering could be the most anointed moment of your life. Believe your seed will produce the turnaround miracle you or your family need today. Now, once again,
to what is going to be said in the next few moments, that the law of sustainment is going to operate in your life.
I receive
this.
This
is only for those that are listening at this time. Mm. This is only for those that are viewing. Right. This is not for anybody else, but for you.
Think of that.
The law of sustainment. Now, where do I get the law of sustainment? Where do you find that? In fact, the law of sustainment activates what we call the supernatural, or the miracle, or what we've been believing for. As I read and I scholastically have studied this word,
The
law of sustainment brings the manifestation of the miracle faster than any law that I have observed in the Word of God. Wow. There might be others, but this one is just what I believe that God wants you to hear for your situation today. The law of sustainment, and it is found in the Book of Kings, where there is a man of God. Now, let's establish that today, I want to come with Pastor Rod Parsley in this live audience and to you today to tell you that I believe that God is about to give you a word.
Ooh.
So if you will allow me,
ooh,
I want to step into the dimension.
Yeah.
of believing. Somebody help me. I really want to step
let's
in
agree. Yeah,
to believe
together. What a power.
In the impossible.
Yeah.
In the impossible.
In the impossible.
Now, there are four kinds of faith. There's the measure of faith.
Okay.
There's the gift of faith.
Okay.
There's the substance of faith.
Okay.
And then there's the spirit of faith.
Go through them again. Let's
the measure of faith.
Measure.
And there is the gift of faith.
Gift.
And there's the substance of faith.
Substance.
You know, the gift of faith we find and can pray for, and
right.
like the gift of miracles.
Right.
And then the measure of faith, everyone has got faith.
Right.
The substance of faith, we learned what it is and our hope. But then there is the spirit of faith.
Mm.
Paul said, the spirit of faith is, I believe, and therefore I speak.
Wow.
So if you'll allow me, if you'll allow me, I want to step into that zone for you.
Mm.
That I can speak those things that are not
as
though they were.
Hallelujah.
The law of sustainment. You have to be in a position that you need help for the law of sustainment to come to you.
Okay.
You have to be in a position that you feel like you're dying.
Yeah. Oh.
You are eligible.
Hallelujah.
For the law of sustainment. There was a prophet in the Bible. He spoke, let there be no rain. Now, if you will study it, you will find the 17th chapter of Kings, 1 Kings, where the prophet was upset at the king because the king wasn't doing right things. So the prophet prophesied, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain.
Wow.
So I can get the attention of the nation back on God.
There.
This is a true story.
There. Yes, it is.
I mean, this is really, I love Game of Thrones, but let me tell you, this is really better.
This is a better story. Yeah.
And if you're watching, you can donate. But let me just tell you that this is the most phenomenal story, and it affects you on the law of sustainment. And I'm getting ready to speak with the spirit of faith over your life.
Yes, Jesus.
So in this.
These people are so despicable. They're telling you that, if you're dying, this is for you. Yeah, if you're dying, that's how wicked these people are. Oh, the more desperate you are, there is no such law of sustainment. There's nothing. That doesn't exist. Psalm chapter 82 says, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. And that's what needs to be done here. Rid them out of the hand of Rod Parsley and Steve Munsey. It's wicked. It's wicked to tell you that, this is for you, especially if you're totally desperate when there is no such thing as a law of sustainment. Anyway, here's the second clip.
With the studio audience here at the headquarters of Breakthrough, with Pastor Rod Parsley. I'm getting ready to speak in the next few moments over your life. The Bible says that God said, I'll back you up, prophet, if that's what you want. And so there was no rain. The grass quits growing.
Wow.
The orange trees quit bearing oranges. No bananas are growing. The fish are dying. The streams, because they're drying up.
Think of that.
And the man of God is kind of in big trouble because the king of the nation says, weatherman, prophet, I'm after you. I'm going to destroy you. Now, you know that the devil always tries to destroy people who have faith to believe that God can do anything in your life. Let's take one modern example. Rod Parsley, man of faith, many years cultivating and reaching the world through Breakthrough. What does Satan do? Target Rod Parsley.
Yeah.
What do we do? get his voice. Destroy his voice.
Wow.
And he'll never talk again.
Wow.
And he'll be non-effective.
Yeah.
When you are a person of faith, you will be attacked. So the king attacked the man of God who spoke in existence, there'd be no rain. Now this is really incredible because God is doing something bigger than you realize because God is desperate.
Hallelujah.
To do a miracle.
Yes, God.
With those.
Yes, God.
That.
Amen.
That are saying.
Amen.
I need to be sustained.
Right, right.
Because I've lost my children, my marriage, my money. I'm just going through it. I'm talking to you. So God puts the man of God in a position where God hides him. But now God lets the brook dry up.
Mm.
And God starves the prophet out to get him in front of somebody that needs a miracle.
Yeah.
I can bless you,
yeah.
But I need to get you, because you have the spirit of faith to speak.
Right.
I need to get you in front of somebody that's getting ready to die.
Wow.
Someone who's getting ready to lose their child.
Think of
it. I need to get you, man of God, who stops the heavens, his powerful supernatural voice, in front of a television camera, so that somebody who needs a miracle, it can be spoken. They need to be sustained. Now, right now, you're watching me. You're listening to me. You're saying, I need sustaining. I need something desperate, because I'm only talking to you.
Right.
I'm not talking to everybody.
Right.
I'm talking to you, because you are the one that needs a miracle, not next year.
Right.
Not next month.
Jesus.
But I've already claimed that
the next seven days,
going to happen. Jesus. Okay.
Right now, Father.
Now remember the law of sustainment, in my reading and understanding the Word of God, produces miracles just unbelievably quick. It's amazing. So God takes this man of God and says, I want you to go to a certain city. Steve, I would like for you to go to Columbus, Ohio.
Come on.
And
come
be on Rob Parsley's program.
Same God.
I'm going to give you a studio full of people who love and believe God for the impossible. I'm going to put you on with Rob Parsley, who I've called to do breakthrough worldwide. I want you to stand, lift his hands up, you know, go be with him. But I'm going to put people in front of the television set.
And he does it.
They're going to hear and they're going to see.
Yep.
And I want you to go and say to them with the spirit of faith that in 7 days your miracle is going to happen.
Yeah, in 7 days your miracle is going to happen. Oh yeah, he knows, because he's a prophet. He's a liar. He's a liar. God didn't send him to Columbus. No, God didn't send him to Columbus. God has nothing to do with that mess between him or Rod. Mark chapter 7 says, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And that's them. That's them. That's Rod Parsley. That's Steve Muncy. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Oh, yeah. God sent him there to Columbus, Ohio, for desperate people that have enough faith to believe for a miracle. Well, all of us need miracles. I'm sure every single one of us have something in our life right now where we could sure use a miracle. Yeah. Well, where am I going to go to get one? Am I going to go over to Rod Parsley's, or am I going to watch Rod Parsley's breakthrough and send $77 or whatever they're going to ask for? Is that where I'm supposed to go to get my miracle? Where am I supposed to go to get my miracle? And why do I have to give an offering to get a miracle? Where am I supposed to go? Where are you supposed to go if you need a miracle? Where? We have to go to God. Who's going to help us when we're desperate? Who helps us? Not any human being. I mean, our friends can pray for us. Thank God for our friends. They can counsel us. They can be there for us. But who ultimately is going to help us when we're desperate for a miracle? Are we supposed to run up to the altar with a $1,000 check? It's ridiculous. It has to stop. These people they're despicable. They're con artists. Con artists. And they lie. It's lies. There's no truth. The only truth that's coming out of his mouth is some of the scriptures that he's quoting, but they take the scriptures and they twist it. For what? For greedy gain, for a few years of financial prosperity, a few years of fame. It's not worth it. Not worth it. Here's clip number 3.
What's going to sustain is not a multimillionaire, is not a person that's well. God always chooses people to sustain his ministry and his kingdom with people who feel like, this is my last day on earth.
My God.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
My God.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I am the word of the Lord, and I'm going to have to stay alive here, the prophet said.
Right.
Because if I die, there'll never be no rain.
Right.
Because I'm the weatherman.
That's it, man. That's
and the only
it.
Way it's going to rain is when I say, woo! God, let it rain.
That's
so
it.
He's got to. So God said, you need to be sustained. The man of God, the kingdom, the breakthrough, the ministry need to be sustained. So God puts him in front of someone, as I am in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Steve, today you're going to talk to someone, and they're going to be the one I'm going to use to sustain. And they are the one, Steve, that they are in critical shape. But I'm going to use them to sustain the man of God so
Jesus.
I can turn their situation around.
My Jesus.
So the man of God goes, here's a woman. He goes, he don't even know this woman, but God said, I will prepare somebody.
Mm.
God prepared you to watch at this moment on your phone, on your internet,
great
on your
God.
Television
great
set.
God.
He planned it all.
Great
this
God.
Is not an accident. And the man of God says to this woman, he doesn't know, he said, ma'am, I need to eat because I need to be sustained.
Yeah.
If you knew who I was, I'm the weatherman. The reason why we're all in this crisis
right.
is because of me. Because I spoke it into existence and God backed me up. She says to him, sir, I can't do that because my boy and I went out and dug our graves this morning. We're eating our last meal and
wow.
we're going to die.
Wow.
And God said, that's the person.
That's the one.
That's the person I'm getting ready to do a miracle for. But I need a man of God to say, sustain me.
Thank you.
So he says to her, I need you feed me first before you feed your boy, and you give me the oil. And she says, sir, I can't. And then he says something. He goes into the spirit of faith. Into the same dimension that he says, Lord, don't let it rain. Hadn't rained in now in about a year. And he says to her, fear not. You give it to me, and you will never run out of meal again. You will never run out of oil again. You will never run out of money. You will never run out of health. You will never run out of favor. You will never run out of opportunity. You will never run out of money.
Hallelujah.
One word. What she didn't know is that her boy was sick and was going to die anyway with a belly full of food. And she didn't know, she didn't know that God wanted to use her, because not only did he want to financially bless her, but he knew there was tragedy in the family up ahead and wanted to resolve that.
My God.
I'm talking to you. There's tragedy up ahead. God sees it. You're connected today. And God says, listen to the man of God. Now, I need you to go to the phone. I need you to go to the phone. I just sense just $77 or $777. As quick as you can.
Yeah.
You're sustaining. I don't know if I can or not. Fear not.
Fear not.
Because this one offering and this one obedience is going to change the rest of your life.
Yes, it is.
Oh. How is that one offering of $77 or $777 going to change the rest of your life? Oh, they have no shame. Revelation 9:21. Neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries, and that's what this whole thing is. It's nothing but sorcery. Nor of their fornication or of their thefts. They repented not. That's ridiculous, telling people that there's a tragedy down the road, putting that kind of fear into people. It's manipulation and telling them that there's a tragedy down the road. So you better go to the phone and give that $77. What is he, Miss Cleo or what? Sounds like some kind of a psychic network over there. It's not Christian. Exodus 22:3 says, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be bloodshed for him, for he shall make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. Well, it's a good thing they're not living in the Old Testament, let me tell you. They would have been sold as slaves for their lying and their stealing. Oh, dear. Anyway, Deuteronomy chapter 18, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all these things, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. And that's the word for us. God has not suffered us to follow after these diviners. Because it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a nation unto ourselves. We are a holy nation, the Bible says. A royal priesthood. And that's the way we should be conducting ourselves. Anyway, here's the last.
And the Bible says, he said, fear not. I'm commanding in the name of Jesus, as I as I speak this word
yes,
into your life,
yes.
that it's going to change you completely.
Yes, Lord.
That in the name of Jesus Christ,
Hallelujah.
Your future and what's going to happen right now is about to change the rest of your life. $77.
We receive it.
Somebody's going to give $777. Somebody's going to give $107. But you go right now. Now watch what happened. When she did it, watch it. Watch this. This is so interesting to me. The minute she did it, God went to her house, sent an angel up and filled her meal barrel. Filled her oil cruse while you dial the phone and you start giving, God is going to open up the windows of heaven. Your bank is going to call. Your job is going to tell you we owe you more money. The doctor's going to say there's a negative report upon your test. And God is getting ready to save your children.
Save them.
The Bible says,
save them.
The Bible says, she gave it to him. She sustained the man of God. The miracle happened immediately. 2 weeks later, her boy died with a belly full of food.
Full of food.
But she went back to the man of God who had the spirit of faith.
Oh, God.
And said, sir, I'm rich. I have money. God has blessed me, but my boy is dead. And the prophet said, because you have sustained the kingdom, your boy is coming back to life again. $77. $777. Go now to the phone, to the internet. Quickly go. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak the moment you hang up. Right now till 7 days with the spirit of faith.
Right, right.
The most impossible situation
yes.
is getting ready to happen in your life.
I believe it.
Here comes prosperity.
Hallelujah.
Here comes healing.
Hallelujah.
Here comes favor.
Hallelujah.
Here comes increase.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus,
thank
go
you,
now in Jesus' name.
How despicable can you get? God, he says, God's going to save your children. Well, didn't God, Jesus already die for our salvation? Didn't he die for the salvation of the world? So why in the world would anybody want to believe that they had to give $77 or $777 to get their children saved? Didn't Jesus already die for people? Don't they just have to receive it? It's ridiculous. What con artist? Acts 16:16 says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel or a certain Steve Muncie and Rod Parsley, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And that's what that is. It's sorcery. It's soothsaying. You can't tell somebody because they give $77 or $777 that in 7 days they're going to get a miracle, that their medical report is going to come back positive. Their children are going to be saved. There's going to be money added to your bank account. Sorcery. That's all it is. Nobody can promise you those kind of things. I can't tell you, and they can't tell you what's going to happen in 7 days to your bank account just because you gave an offering. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. And anyway, like I said before, you can't give offerings just to get something back. That is not Christianity. That is not, that's selfishness, just to give to get. We give to bless people. Doesn't that makes you feel so much better, doesn't it? Because remember the Apostle Paul said that. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And why is it? Because it makes you feel good when you bless somebody, when you do it from your heart. When even if they, sometimes it's even better when they don't know that it was you that did it. That even makes you happier at times. When you can do something for somebody and they don't even know it was you, but yet they needed something or You just wanted to bless them, to give them a happy moment in their day or whatever. And that's real Christian love. That's the way that we want the church to operate. And it's going to take a lot more work to get to get that in that position where we're going to see these changes. But we go little by little, I guess. And after being here all these years with my program, and there's many other people, too, that speak out against these kind of abuses by so-called men and prophets of God. But yet we still, it's still a rampant it's a rampant process that goes on in so-called Christianity quarters, you know, in churches and Christian television networks and the like. But we hope that we can see some changes, because it's a glorious church that Jesus is coming back for. And don't we want that? I like real Christianity a lot better myself. I like being satisfied with what I have. And if God wants to give me more, then that's his business to give me more. But godliness with contentment brings great gain. And that should be our attitude, is to be content and to find ways, if we don't have enough to meet our needs, you know, to find ways to do it. Most of us that are older, in our 60s and 70s, we remember how our parents lived and how they, most of us come from middle-class backgrounds, and our parents had to work. They had to work hard. They worked hard for many years, and they accumulated something, but it came through hard work. There was no money tree that they went outside to pick the money off of. And so we've observed those things, and maybe now, I guess things have changed. Things have changed a lot more than it was back in those days when they didn't have these preachers on television making these kind of promises to people. And it changes people's attitudes toward each other. It changes their attitudes toward their families even, and especially to the family of God. It really changes the attitude in the church when these kind of abuses go on. It makes it a lot harder for people that are trying to get a message across. It makes the job a lot harder, because these people will do anything to protect their own interest. And I mean anything. So I wouldn't put anything past them. If anybody could use the name of Jesus and to use the cross, Jesus died on the cross and suffered a cruel death for us. And if people could use that and abuse that for their own gain, that's pretty low. So they're capable of anything. Capable of anything. So it should be interesting in the next few days. Of course, they're going to be dedicating this embassy in Jerusalem. And there's already protests, and there's already a lot of angry Muslims. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks anyway with that. And we're in the end times. We are in the end times, and we see things changing so rapidly. We see the weirdest things happening to school children, and the things that school children are being taught, and even the things that are happening in the churches. There's so much adultery and sexual abuse that's going on with a lot of these ministers, because what happens is false teaching and heresy, it destroys people. They don't have a moral compass. because they've compromised. And so then when they compromise, then they most of the time they turn to drugs, or they turn to alcohol, or they turn to adultery if they're married. And so it brings upon them their own destruction. And they do it to themselves, because if any of us, if you ever compromise and you try to dull that still small voice that's in all of us, and the voice, the Holy Spirit of conviction, the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, and then we try to dull that voice, then we're in trouble. We're in big trouble when we don't heed that still small voice telling us, don't do that, don't go there. But yet, most of these people, the false prophets and the false teachers, they're in open rebellion, so they don't really care. They've already reached the point, a lot of them, where they won't come back. They won't come back. And it's a sad state of affairs, especially for their children, because then they teach their children, because they want their children to take over their dynasties after they die. And then they teach their children how to con people. And most of the times the children do it because they want the inheritance and they refuse to take a stand for themselves. But look, leave the inheritance behind and don't follow in the footsteps of your mother or your father if they're a con artist. It's not worth it. Be your own man, be your own woman, and you'll be a lot happier in life. Anyway, that's our program for today. Thanks for tuning in. I want to thank all my listeners in the United Kingdom. Thank all my listeners in Canada, Malaysia, Singapore, Australia, South Africa. Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate you all very much. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you want to email me, susan@propheticnews.com. You can email me there. And I look forward to hearing from you, okay? Remember, the most important thing is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked him to come into your life? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins? Jesus said in the 3rd chapter of John that you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother. Then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says, confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. You have to confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins, no matter what you've done. And you can have a brand new life in Jesus Christ. That's a promise. You can be born again. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies 4 square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies 4 square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.